Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Today's show's going to be a special program. I've been down sick with a cold, and I didn't want to call everybody into the studio and share it with them. So what I'm going to do is play you excerpts from our last public meeting where we had guest speaker Alan Harrop. If you recall, he was on the show a few weeks back, and we invited him to do a talk at our public meeting on climate change. And it was a very important and very informative discussion. A lot of facts brought out, and of course, Alan gives you his references, where his source materials, where he gets those facts from, and we really appreciate him coming and sharing with us. So let's get right to it. Report on climate change by guest speaker Alan Harrop.
I'm not going to go into any of my background. It really doesn't matter. What I want to talk about is a subject that I think is very important, not only for everybody in this room, but all the citizens of this country, because we are being led down a road that we don't need to be going down. And we're being led down there by people, I'd like to say it's due to ignorance, but I'm not, I really think it's not ignorance. I think it's purposeful, and it's part of the leftist agenda, which makes it doubly troubling. Why did I get interested in this topic? For a couple of reasons. Number one was I don't like information that comes to me that's just presented as settled science when in reality it's not. I don't like people giving me the dire warning, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, appealing to emotions and so on. I'm the kind of person, although I am not a climate scientist, so the things that I've been reporting to you are not something I personally researched, but they are things that I have found in the literature, in the internet, different places, but I have not researched this. But I know enough about science to know that science is built on facts, not on emotions or consensus, okay? So anyway, I became aware of a couple things that concerned me. One of the things that really bothered me was early on the global warming extremists, and there's a whole lot of them. At first, if you remember, it was global warming that was the threat, and that went on for several years, and you know, the Earth's gonna overheat, we're all gonna boil up and all that stuff. And then unfortunately, we went through about 16 to 17 years where the temperature of the Earth actually not only didn't go up, but it actually stayed the same. In some cases, went for a couple of years, actually went down a little bit. So instead of abandoning their theory, of course, they changed their label. Now it's climate change. So no matter whether it goes up, the temperature goes up, or the temperature goes down, they have to be right, which is a convenient theory, you know. No matter which way it goes, you win. It's like going, you know, like some kind of roulette, I guess. If you you may not recall this, but if you remember Joseph Goebbels, who was the primary architect of propaganda for the Nazi regime, and he said that if you tell a big enough lie often enough, frequently enough, people will come to believe it, and that's what's happening. You may have noticed in the news today that the mayor of New York City has authorized the release of all the high school students in New York City so they can go and join a climate protest. Okay, now if I'm sure if that protest was about Second Amendment rights, or so I don't think he would have released the school system. But what is that telling the students of our schools. And that's part of what's happening. I mean, Rick mentioned this struggle with Common Core. We're having the same thing. Our children are being indoctrinated about this issue in ways far beyond what they should be, and that's part of what's troubled me. Anyway, there are two good resources that I want you to know about. And the first one, which is a book I would highly recommend, it's called Inconvenient Facts. And the title, of course, is a playoff on the title of Al Gore's book, Inconvenient Truth. Anybody read his book? Good, I didn't either. Did you know that Al Gore took one science course in college? It was a natural science course, and he got a D. So I guess that qualified him for the leftists to write an authoritative book on climate change. Anyway, this book, Gregory Wrighthouse, it's on Amazon. It's not expensive. It's $16, Inconvenient Facts. It's an easy read. It's written for a layman like myself. And it covers the whole field, and it will put a very different perspective on this topic for you. The second book I recommend is what's called The Little Ice Age. And this book was written by a fellow by the name of Brian Fagan, and it details something we're going to talk about a little bit later as I go through my presentation. But this is another excellent book. A little more detailed, but still an easy read. And the third thing I would refer you to, there's a website called co2science.org, co2science.org. And you can get on it. And what they do is they report on a lot of research that shows the impact of CO2 on the environment. But interestingly enough, most of it's positive. Because as we'll see in the presentation, CO2 is not a pollutant. It is a plant food. Without CO2, none of us would be here, right? Okay, so it's not the enemy or it's not the monster that the left has made it to be. All right, let's get started. I would like to first start off with answering some questions. Is man-made global warming a settled science? Is it settled science? In 2013, Obama came out and made a statement that 97% of all climate scientists believe that man-made global warming is a fact. And that has, this has led really to the idea that if you either buy it into it, you accept it, or you are a quote climate denier, unquote, and that's a bad thing. You know, it's kind of like in religion, if you're a heretic, okay, that's kind of like, that's how they use it. And that's how the left operates. They throw these terms at you if you disagree with them. You know, you're a deplorable, or you're a racist, or you're some other term. Here, you're a climate denier. The truth of the matter is they've done some studies, and they found that even in this study that he quoted, actually only about 45% of the people who were surveyed said that they thought that global warming was due to man's burning of fossil fuels. And interestingly enough, that association, it was the Meteorological Association, they weren't even climate scientists. They did some subsequent studies, and they found out that the real climate scientists that actually researched the area, that less than 1% of them believe that man's effect is the primary cause of the temperature increase we're seeing. We are seeing a warming in the Earth's temperature. Now, unfortunately for the climate alarmists, that's been going on since at least 1850, way before we started having a lot of CO2 pumped in the atmosphere. But we are in a period where the Earth is warming, but not due to man, due to natural occurring phenomenon. In fact, they had a petition that was signed by 31,000 scientists. And basically that petition stated, it was a petition to the government, went to the Congress, and basically stated that there was no evidence that man's use of fossil fuel was creating a problem, and that efforts to curtail CO2 levels could be detrimental not only to our economy and our food supply, okay, but it could be detrimental economically in a lot of other ways, which we're going to get into. So the idea that this is settled science is it's a bunch of hogwash, okay? But they would like you to believe that, so don't believe it.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
The second thing I want to talk about is temperatures on the Earth. What is the normal temperature for the Earth? Anybody know? They got any idea? What's the normal temperature the Earth should be at? What's the normal temperature of a human body? Okay. This is the model that these people would like you to believe. They kind of use, they imply the analogy that the Earth is an organism that has a preferred temperature, and that anything that deviates from that is abnormal. That is so far from the truth to be pathetic. The truth of the matter is the temperature of the Earth has constantly changed. In fact, the only predictable thing is that it will change. It's never been steady. The Earth's been here for 4.5 billion years, and the Earth's temperature has continued to fluctuate many, many, many times, sometimes up, sometimes down. And if you go back 800,000 years, you will find, and the reason we use that 800,000-year mark is because that is about the limit of the data that they get from the glacial ice cores, either in Greenland or in Antarctica. Those are the primary sources of the historical data about the Earth's temperature. And what they can do, they can extract from those ice cores the temperature that the Earth was. They have a way in which they look at the oxygen isotopes and some other chemical things, which I don't understand, I'm not going to go into. But that's about as far back as they can go with that estimate. What they find is that within that 800,000 years, that there have been 9 cycles of ice ages and what they call interglacial warming periods that cycle pretty regularly these 9 times, okay? So you have times when the temperature of the Earth is going down, and unfortunately, the times the ice age are actually much longer than the periods of time between ice ages. So the ice ages typically lasts from 70 to 120,000 years. The warming periods that intersperse these, okay? So you got the ice age, and you got a warm period in between. The warming periods usually last from 10 to 15,000 years, okay? So historically, the Earth, during the last 800,000 years, has been colder more often than it's been warm. Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind. And these things fluctuate up and down. Now, far as I know, we weren't driving SUVs 800,000 years ago. We weren't flying around in planes. We weren't contributing through the burning of fossil fuels. Okay, so let's assume we didn't do this. At least the left hasn't found a way to say we've done it yet, but they're probably working on it. Okay. The other thing is that over the past 4 cycles, okay, there have been warming periods. The last 4 warming periods, not the one we're in, the ones prior to us. Okay, remember, there were 9 of them. The last 4 were much warmer than what we are now. 10 to 14 degrees warmer than what we are right now, okay? The Earth still survived, the animals still survived, the plants survived, okay? And so the idea that we are on the cusp of some tremendously high temperature that's going to destroy life on this planet is not supported by facts. And that's what we're talking about. I'm trying to give you facts as written in these books that I've researched. If they're wrong, then I'm wrong, okay? But these are facts. This is what I'm trying to communicate to you. Okay. All right, let me see, where am I? Okay, another thing that's interesting to know is that even within the periods, like I said, there's an ice age. Oh, getting back to the ice age business. The last ice age, which lasted about 100,000, 120,000 years, the ice completely covered Canada. There was no life on Canada, okay? Unless you can live between, underneath a glacier. The glaciers extended down into the United States, all the way down to New Jersey, down past in the middle of the country, down farther there. The ice was 2 miles thick over New York City, okay? 2 miles thick, that's how thick the ice was. Some people say that's probably a good idea to do it again, but anyway, I don't want to go down that road. But anyway, that's the kind of cold we're talking about, the cold that To survive, you have to go south. You've got to get away from it. You can't live in it or near it. You just have to go south. The other thing to remember is that within these periods, okay, like the global warming period we're in now, which started 10,000 years ago, 10, 15,000 years ago, we came out of the ice age and we started warming up. And as we started warming up, we didn't consistently warm up every year. Not every year is warmer than the prior year. We went through cycles even within this warming up period. And these things fluctuate. And that's what leads to this idea of this little ice age. For example, between, say, 250 BC and 450 AD, they call that the Roman warm period. That was the time when the Roman Empire flourished. Okay? 250 BC to 450 AD. After that, the earth started to cool off, and from 450 to 950 AD, we had a cooling period. And what happened to civilization? We entered what they called the Dark Ages. So what you see is these periods, even though we're coming out of the Ice Age, we're overall warming, it fluctuates even within that period. And civilization's progress is dictated to a large extent by those climate variations. So you had the Dark Ages where it cooled off. After the Dark Age, about 950 to about 1250, it warmed up again. That's called the medieval warming period. And during that time, culture really flourished. There were the food supply became more available, population expanded, people moved into areas where they couldn't live before, the glaciers retreated some and so forth. Everybody was happy, they were building cathedrals, or everything was, art flourished, everything. Then what happened? About 1300, we started into another cold period called the Little Ice Age, and we started to retreat. People couldn't get enough food, there was mass starvation, crops were dying in the field, they were killing frosts in July, they'd plant a crop, the crop would start to grow and it would die off, the growing series were very restricted, and it was mass starvation. And so even within this period. Now that little ice age actually only ended in 1850. So since then, we've actually been warming up fairly steadily. And that's the period we're in now. So along comes CO2 emissions. Mankind decides, well, we're going to burn oil, and we're going to have gas or electricity, we're going to do all these things. And CO2 starts to go up in the atmosphere. Now, meanwhile, the Earth is warming, which it was going to do anyway. So what are the leftists, the climate extremists, say? Aha! CO2 is causing this warming. And if you don't stop the CO2, it's going to keep warming. Now, it was warming anyway. And we don't know where the end of the warming period would be. We're still 10, 12 degrees cooler than it was the last warming period. So even if there was no people on Earth and there was no SUVs and so on, it would still be getting warmer and the oceans would be rising. So we see that a lot of these things that are attributable to man's impact, which in a way is very arrogant to think that we have made this impact on an earth that was created and been in existence long before we got here and will be here long before after we're gone, that we're having this impact because we started driving our SUVs and everything, right? We're changing the climate, okay? So anyway, these all happened before the rise in CO2. I'll take questions at the end if it's okay, Hal, unless you want to stop me. That was during, Hal is absolutely correct. That period of time, during Valley Forge and then in the late 1700s, it was still in this little ice age period, and the winters were much colder. In fact, in about 1815 or so, they had what they called a killing year, where it was very cold and the crops failed and there was a lot of starvation because they had a couple of really cold winters in succession.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Let's talk about CO2 for a minute. CO2 is what is the enemy, according to the climate extremists. It's the CO2 levels that are getting us in trouble, and it's the CO2 that we have to stop. How do we stop that? Well, we stop burning fossil fuels because that's contributing to CO2. Now, does burning fossil fuels increase CO2 level? You're darn right it does. Since World War II, the CO2 emissions in the world have gone up because we are burning more fossil fuels. Okay? Now, that's true. The question becomes, is that impacting on the climate temperature? Okay? Just because it's going up and it's correlated doesn't mean it's causation. It's causative, right? We all know there's a difference between correlation and causation. Okay, got to remember a couple of facts that they don't like to tell you. The percentage of the atmosphere that is carbon dioxide is 0.04%. 0.04%. That's, if you look at it, it's 400 parts of every million, 40 parts of every 100,000, and 4 parts of every 10,000. Okay? So you got 10,000 tennis balls in this room, four of those would be carbon dioxide. And now they want you to believe that by changing the number of little carbon dioxide balls, that's going to affect the entire world climate. And the way they talk about that is through what they call a greenhouse effect. And the greenhouse effect is exactly how they named it. It's basically the process in which the heat of the sun comes down through the atmosphere, hits the earth, and is prevented from escaping by the atmosphere. If we had no atmosphere, our earth would be like the moon. Hot when the sun's shining on it, deathly cold when the sun's not shining on it. Okay? The atmosphere allows that. Now, the atmosphere is made up of 78% nitrogen, right? 21% oxygen. 1% of greenhouse gases, okay? You got 99% of things that have nothing to do with the greenhouse effect. You have 1% that is the gases that are causing the greenhouse effect, okay? Of that 1%, 94% of that greenhouse effect that's keeping the heat in is from water vapor, not CO2. Water vapor is the primary greenhouse gas. If you don't believe it, step outside in a humid day, okay? For example, a lot of you have traveled, right? And you go out to go out west where the humidity's lower. You might have a high temperature of 95 degrees, but at night it cools off down into the 60s. East North Carolina, if it's 95, it may cool down to 80, because that's the humidity, the water vapor in the air, is what's causing the greenhouse effect. That's retaining that heat. Okay. They don't tell you that. It's all because of bad CO2. Here's the other thing. A couple things to remember. I said CO2 is plant food. Without CO2, plants die. Okay? Now, plants need a minimum amount of CO2 in order to live. And this is based on actual science, because they would take plants and they put them in this artificial environment and they would vary the amount of CO2. When the amount of CO2 gets below 150 parts per million, 150 parts per million, plants die. Okay? We are at 400 parts per million. This is one of the lowest levels the Earth has ever been at, 400. There were times when for the last 6 million years, or not 6, yeah, 6 million years, the CO2 level's been over 2,000 parts per million. That's when you had all that lush vegetation during the dinosaur period. You know, now you're drilling for oil, and where the oil comes from, right? Rotting vegetation. Where do you think that came from? It didn't come from minimal CO2 levels. It comes from that, from CO2 levels being much higher. So what they don't tell you that. They say, we're at 400, but the truth of the matter is, if we were reducing the amount of CO2, it would be more dangerous, because we would be threatening the extinction or producing the possible extinction of plants. In fact, the rising CO2 levels in the past, say, since World War II, CO2 levels have been gradually going up. Has been attributed as one of the reasons why the food supply on the earth has increased. We are feeding more people now globally than we ever fed before. If the CO2 level went down, we couldn't feed all these people. Okay? So global warming, okay, helps the food process, because it gives you what? longer growing periods, right? If it, you can plant in April, and you can the plants grow until November, that's great. What happened in the Little Ice Age, they couldn't plant until July, and then in September, the killing frost came. So the food stuff was dying off. Okay? In fact, one of the experiments they did, which is really interesting, they took a series of plants and they put them in this controlled environment. And they started at the current CO2 level in the atmosphere, which is, again, 400 parts per million, right? That's what it is right now. And they boosted it up by 300 parts per million. The output and the productivity of the plants increased by almost 50%. The plants grew faster, they set more fruit, they got more, the plants just flourished. In fact, if you look at the Earth from the satellites, they find that the amount of greening of the Earth right now is greater than it was 50, 60 years ago. It's going up in spite of, you know, everybody's, oh, they're burning the rainforest in Brazil and all that stuff. Truth of the matter is the plants are actually growing in areas now that they never could grow before. And that's good if you want to eat. It's not good if you want to blame CO2 and you want to talk about all the terrible things that are going to happen in the future.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Do you have anybody ever hear of a guy by the name of Michael Mann? Michael Mann is the guy, the scientist who came up with the infamous hockey stick graph. And what the hockey stick graph shows is that the Earth was going along very nicely, and then the temperature was nice and nice, just ideal the way we wanted. And all of a sudden, big bad man came along. We started, you know, with our SUVs and all that other stuff. And all of a sudden, the CO2 level went up, and the temperatures just swoop went up high like that. And there was another climate scientist who challenged him and said that that was a bunch of hogwash and it was fake science. So Michael Mann sued him for libel. And so they went to court, and the judge said to Michael Mann, well, in order to defend yourself, you're going to have to show the court the data that you used to come up with this hockey stick prediction. And he would never show it. And so the court ruled against him, threw the case out, his libel case, because he would not present the data that led him to that belief. So, you know, maybe he just misplaced it, right? Okay. But you're right, his dog ate his homework. But this is the kind of stuff you're dealing with. There's fraud going on. There's manipulation of data. You have funding for research in which it's clear that the people who are granting the funding monies are letting the person know what outcome they're looking for. In fact, there's one of the scientists in that book who said that he was called in. This was when he was a graduate student, and he found some flaws. And this was in the sea level rising. That's another boondoggle. And he was told by the chairman of the department, if he kept that up, being critical of this thing, that he'd never have a career in climate science. So there you go. Typical leftists. Isn't it nice the way God set that up? You breathe, they need it, they give you something back. The left can't accept that, though. They want it one way. In fact, one of the leftists said that, you know, we don't need all these humans on Earth anyway. It's probably better if we weren't here. All right, let me talk about a couple other things here. I'll get to you in a minute, Hal. A couple other things. Let's talk about predictions of climate. Extreme climate instances. And I just want to talk about these things because you often see these in the news and the media. Oh, by the way, if the media is in favor of it, you pretty much know it's questionable, right? I mean, that was another reason why I knew this can't be right. The media is so much in favor of it. Okay, hurricanes. More hurricanes, they're getting worse. So the end's going to be all this dire stuff. The truth of the matter is that there's been no change in the number of hurricanes since 1970. And prior to that, the number of hurricanes was actually higher than it is now. It fluctuates from year to year, but they're not going to tell you that. They're going to, you know, this Ocasio-Cortez barkeeper who's their primary spokesman for this stuff. And that's great. You know, it's wonderful. This is a great country, you know, when you have a saloon keeper who's their primary spokesman. You can't make this stuff up. Tornadoes are actually decreasing. Okay? And in fact, in 2016, the number of tornadoes in the United States was the lowest in recorded history, as long as we've kept records. Droughts are decreasing. And primarily due to the increased soil moisture. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is kind of cool. I got to tell you about this. When the CO2 level goes up, the soil moisture goes up. Now, what? How could that be? Here's what happens. The way a plant operates is you have the plant leaf. On the bottom part of the leaf are the pores. Those pores can open and close. They open up to allow the plant to absorb the nutrients, primarily carbon dioxide. When the plant has sufficient carbon dioxide, those pores close. Okay? The more dense the atmosphere is with carbon dioxide, the quicker the plant can absorb what it needs and the less lengthy that opening of the pores is. When the pores are open, that's also when the plant loses moisture. So the plant needs less moisture from the soil because less is evaporating because the pores of the leaf are open for a shorter period of time because the CO2 level is higher. Okay? So it's another kind of, it's kind of a nice little analogy, isn't it? I don't think Ms. Cortez knows about that. Forest fires, the frequency of forest fires gone down. Let's talk about the poor polar bears. That was apparently one thing that our D-level student Al Gore talked about that we're going to extinguish all the polar bears. So they had this lady, she's from University of Quebec or something up there in Canada, and that's her specialty. Polar bear monitoring and polar bear populations and so on and so forth. So she has reported, and she monitors, she's been doing this for like, you know, years. And she's monitored that in the past 20 years, the polar bear population has increased by 30%, even though the ice around the polar ice cap has actually shrunk. And it makes sense. Polar bears don't eat ice. They have to eat something that's in the water. And when they actually looked at the areas where the polar bear populations were densest, it was where the ice was least. So the areas where there's less ice, the polar bears tend to congregate because the seals and other things they eat, they can get at through the water, not through chewing through, you know, 10 feet of ice. That's another myth that they blew that one. Okay, let's talk about whether it's best for the Earth to be warmer or colder. Okay, how many people would prefer the Earth to be colder? Anybody? Somebody? Okay. I don't like the heat too much, but I don't want another ice age. I think I threw a line. But anyway, let's talk about deaths. They say, you know, if the Earth keeps getting warm, there's going to be a lot of deaths. So. The truth of the matter is, there's 20 times more people die worldwide from cold than they do from the heat. Okay? More people die from cold than they do from excess heat. And that's worldwide. In the United Kingdom, here's an interesting fact. In the United Kingdom, more people, like the rest of the world, more people die of the cold. But what they found was, the people weren't dying from the cold while they were outside. They were dying from the cold in their houses. Okay? Why are they dying from hypothermia in their house? Anybody got an idea? Got their thermostat set too low. Why did they have the thermostat set too low? Because the cost of energy in the United Kingdom, because of all this green energy stuff and the windmills and, so, and all this stuff, it's like three times as expensive as it is in the United States. So these people have to keep their houses at such a low temperature, it actually threatens their lives. So they're dying in their own homes. Let me just mention this business about economic impact since we're kind of on that topic. The price of a gallon of gasoline in Europe right now is $6.50 on average. United States, the average price of gas is $2.25. That's what I paid the last time I filled up, okay? The price of electricity in Europe averages 38 cents a kilowatt. In the United States, it's 12 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, let's just pretend what this would do to your budget and your standard of living, if all of a sudden, say your electric bill is $250, now that's going to go up by a factor of 3.5, so you're going to be paying close to $800 a month for your electric bill. Your gas bill for your car, that's why they, you know, that's why they ride around on trains and all this other stuff. They can't afford to put gas in their cars because it's so expensive. What does this do to your standard of living? What does it do when you have to spend a higher and higher percentage of your income on the basic energy? You either cut it down, you run your, you turn your thermostat up, okay, in the summer. You can't afford to keep your temperature at a comfortable, your thermostat at a comfortable 72 in the summer. So you get it up to 78, 80, and then it becomes risky for your health, or you do the opposite in the winter. And that's what's happening to people. It's not necessary. It's totally not necessary. It also takes away from money you have to spend on other things, which is part of the reason the European economy is languishing. They have less spendable income than we have in this country. Now, if the leftists had their way, the Green New Deal, we'd be like Europe, right? What does the Green New Deal want to do? In 10 years, they want to make all of our electricity come from renewable sources, which means wind and solar. They don't want nuclear, okay? Wind and solar, okay? Now, to accomplish that, we'd have to do away with all of the coal-burning plants. And by the way, we don't have many left. Did you know there's only 15 coal-burning plants in the United States right now? They've all been converted to natural gas and so on. The rest of the world has over 3,000 coal-burning plants. The rest of the world's got 3,000. We got 15, but we're the bad guy. The United States puts out 13% of the world's carbon dioxide, 13%. The rest of the world puts out 87%. Let's say we cut back ours in half, which would at least double, maybe triple, our energy costs. That would be more than made up by the plants that the Chinese have that they're building right now. And in India, they're building coal plants. And I just heard today, I saw that Russia is expanding their coal production. So here, we're going to cut back. We're going to destroy our economy, destroy our standard of living. And they're going to keep building more coal plants and so on. And what good is it going to do to the earth? Nothing.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
A professional auto service keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Let me talk about the rising sea levels. That's another bugaboo. When the earth warms, what happens to the sea level? Goes up. In the middle of the last ice age, the sea level was 400 feet lower than it is today. 400 feet. Okay? So we could have beachfront property out, you know, 50 miles from the shore, or, you know, all kinds of beachfront property could be made available. Of course, you know, you couldn't use it too much because it would be too cold. But if you had, you know, if you could stand it. Okay, so it's that. Now, what happened was, during the, when the ice age started to come to an end, the sea levels began to rise very dramatically, very quickly. And as we have reached into this period where we're kind of getting to the end of this warming cycle, it's leveled off. In fact, the oceans are rising 0.3 inches per year, 0.3 inches. And in some cases, and recently, it's been less than that. It's been less than a tenth of an inch. It's been measured in a lot of places, okay? Less than a tenth of an inch. That's what the sea level's going up. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, we understand that, but all this global warming, like all the ice, look at all that ice up in the North Pole. What's going to happen when all that melts? Well, the truth of the matter is, it will do nothing to raise the sea level because the ice at the North, all of the ice at the North Pole is already contributing to the current level of the sea. You can melt all of it and the sea level would not change one tenth of an inch. If you don't believe it, take a glass of water. Fill it up, glass about that, halfway up with water, and then fill the rest of it up with ice and put a mark there. And let that ice melt. The level, water level will stay at the same mark. And that's exactly what happened. The only way that the sea levels can go up is melting glaciers, not melting polar ice cap or any of that stuff. Okay? And in fact, there's some evidence that the glaciers in Antarctica are actually expanding right now. They're not contracting.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today's program with our guest speaker, Alan Harrop, and that was at our last monthly meeting. And we plan on having Alan back again in the future for some talks on some other subjects. Again, thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. And please visit our website at cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com, where you can find out all about CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We hope you'll come out and visit us at one of our public meetings. The information for those will be there on our homepage. Please come back and join us again next week for more of CCTA Wake Up Call.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.